So I'll remind you that by this stage, we're in week 10. It's in the early fetal period, but remember, we're still in the first trimester until we get to the end of the 3 months. So there's a little bit of a shifting in timing in terms of embryology and the clinical description of pregnancy. What you can say, though, is that when we get to the second trimester, which runs from the third month onwards, the features that I'm going to be talking about are the development of the different systems. So we've already talked about that by the end of the embryonic period, the musculoskeletal system's pretty much laid out in miniature muscles and miniature bones. The bones may not all be ossified, but they'll be there as cartilage templates. So we're not going to focus too much on the musculoskeletal system till we come back to abnormalities. I'm not going to have time today to talk about a lot of the placental changes that are occurring that were covered in the placental lab. And by the second trimester is a time when the diagnostic tool of ultrasound comes into its own. So you can do early ultrasound scans to do early diagnostics. The presence of a embryonic heartbeat can be observed as early as 7 weeks. You can see the site of placentation in those early embryos, and you can see if there are any abnormalities in that early development. By the second trimester, you can begin to look for abnormalities within systems that have formed. So in this ultrasound here that we can see of the 12-week fetus, this is the ventral body wall of the mother. The head can be seen in the head down or vertex presentation position. This would be the normal orientation for an infant that's going to be born, vertex presentation. But often the second and third trimesters, the fetus rotates and may not be head down until the end of the pregnancy period. In this case, it's already head down. You can see the upper limbs, the face in this region, the lower limbs, and the umbilical cord. Now, this is a reconstruction of individual ultrasound sections, so you can actually see the surface rendering of the embryo, of the fetus. And the ultrasound tools these days are much better than they used to be. In addition, there are very compact ultrasound pieces of equipment that nurses can take with them to remote locations to do very preliminary scans to do some services out there. So in this image here, which is of an ultrasound, we can see the fetus located here, the amniotic cavity and the ventral body wall above it. And let me stop this again and just get the lights out so you can see. So what is being done here is one of the prenatal diagnostic tests, and that is a scan looking in the midline of the fetus and measuring the space that's present in the neck region where the spinal cord is, and it's called nuchal translucency. A larger space in that region correlates with neural tube defects and with trisomy 21. So it's a non-invasive type of diagnostic tool that can be used. So here's the head region. You can see the heart beating here in the chest. This is the spinal cord down here. And the sonographer's scanning in to try and find the midline region in the neck. And then places two cursors in this region to measure the space of that nuchal translucency. So this is a diagnostic measurement that can be carried out here as early as 12 weeks. Now, the other types of measurements that can be made, and I've given you a little bit of background information about ultrasound. You'll do it elsewhere in your course. And that is that the ultrasound is also the best tool for aging or staging the development of the fetus. And by making a series of ultrasound measurements at different times during development, you can quantify the growth. So it's also a way of measuring if abnormal growth is occurring, either too little growth or too much growth, by making a number of different measurements. And the types of measurements that can be made, and you can see one being made here, this is the abdominal circumference by dragging out a loop. You can measure at the widest point the size of the body. And this is compared to a set of tables that we have for different aged fetuses. The other types of measurements, well, we can still do the crown rump length measurement, the biparietal measurement. I've just talked about the abdominal circumference as measuring all features of how the fetus is growing. In addition to that, you can measure the longest bone, the femur length, is another standardized measurement for measuring the age of the fetus and the amount of growth. Head circumference, that nuchal translucency, and both the heart size and rate. Now, the heart rate changes during development as the fetus grows older. And similarly, the ultrasound is able, using Doppler techniques, to measure the flow of liquid through the heart. So you can actually quantify the movement of liquid and see its flow with ultrasound. And this can sometimes pick up abnormalities in septation or abnormalities in the cardiovascular system. Finally, you can use the ultrasound to do an important measurement of the placenta. Some people often forget that placenta is just as important to make measurements of. Its size, its location, and its development are all good indicators of whether the fetus is growing normally and will also affect how the fetus is growing if it's abnormal. So you want to see that it's not a placenta previa, you want to see that it's the correct thickness for that stage, and you want to also measure the umbilical cord length, whether there's knots present in it. And the umbilical cord itself can be scanned through, and you can detect the number of vessels you can see within the placental cord. So how many placental vessels am I expecting to see in a placental cord? How many placental vessels? Three. Yes, that's correct. What am I expecting to see? Two arteries and a vein. That's the normal vasculature we see within the umbilical cord. If when you scan it you see two veins being present, that is an indicator that abnormal development's occurring. So abnormalities are often correlated with a paired vein. And similarly, a single placental artery can indicate abnormalities in development as well. And I've already mentioned you can detect macroscopically whether the cord is knotted or whether it's wrapped around part of the developing fetus. So non-invasive technique of ultrasound can do a lot of measurements and tell you a lot about development of the fetus. In terms of its overall growth, I draw your attention to this graph here, where we're looking at from the embryonic period into the second trimester stage, and we're measuring the length of the fetus on this axis. If you compare the length with the number of weeks in development, you can see through the second trimester there's a consistent increase in overall length of the fetus. So if I had to characterize the major structural change we're seeing here in the second trimester, it's the growth in the length of the fetus we're seeing. Towards the third trimester, this becomes a little flatter, doesn't grow as much. We still get continuing increase in the length, but the vast majority of growth in length is through the second trimester. So by this stage in week 10, we're at 40 millimetres. When we get to, I thought I had another one there, week 12. Maybe I don't. Here we are. The week 12 is 85 millimetres. So just to give you an example, in the space of 2 weeks from week 10 to week 12, it's doubled in length from 40 to 85 millimetres in length. So that's significant growth overall. And the fetal period is mainly about this growth process going on. If we look in the head region, I mentioned before that we've got ossification occurring. All of the body is ossifying by endochondral ossification. In the head region, the skull is ossifying by two separate processes that we can see in these two images here. This lateral view shows you the lower jaw. Anywhere which is red is where we're having bone development. Anywhere stained blue is cartilage. So we can see the cartilage in the neck region here, cartilage through the base of the skull, and cartilage at the nasal septum here. Now you can see bone is forming in the maxillary region where the palate is, and in the mandible down here. We can even see the places where the future teeth lie embedded within the gum. The cranial vault is ossifying by a different process, the inframembranous ossification, and you can see this process as spiderweb-like branches of new forming bone spreading out on the cranial plates. If we look at this same week 12 fetus head, but this time from the midline, we can see the nasal septum, which remains as cartilage in the adult, but that chondrocranium, or the base of the skull, can be seen as this band of cartilage in this region here. So it hasn't yet ossified. It's still mainly cartilage through the base of the skull, and that ossification process has to occur during the fetal period. And once again, you can see the cranial vault with its inframembranous ossification process occurring. What else is happening in the second trimester? Well, we can begin to see differences in the external genitalia. So by ultrasound, you should begin to be able to detect the sex of the fetus on the basis of external genitalia in the second trimester. We see changes in respiratory development, and I've outlined here the five major stages in development of the lungs. We started out with the pseudoglandula, which was the late embryonic period, where it was a very solid sponge-like tissue. And as the branching continues, we develop the canaliculi, the finer branches off the end of the tree, and then late in the pregnancy, we get the terminal sac, and by the end of the fetal period, we begin to establish the alveoli, the functional compartment of the lung. This is really important, this time scale of development of the respiratory tree, because it means that the final functional units of the lung are not laid down until just before birth. And so clinically, the relevance is that premature infants will have an immature respiratory system in terms of the development of the alveoli. And as part of the alveoli development, the cells that are located within it, the type 2 alveolar cells, secrete surfactant, which is required to allow the lungs and alveoli to stay inflated. So low surfactant levels in premature infants leads to abnormalities in respiration, so-called hyaline membrane disease or respiratory distress syndrome. Both of them correlate with prematurity and the underdevelopment of the respiratory tree and those cells. When we look at the development of the skin, if we look at the first couple of months, we're getting the development of the underlying connective tissues, the dermis and hypodermis, the growth of blood vessels in the mesodermal layer. And when we get to the second trimester, we begin to get the formation of nails, nail beds on the digits. They'll begin to be established. And a lot of the other structures that we can identify associated with the skin, the specialised structures. And this includes the growth of the sweat glands forming, the hair follicles beginning to form, and the sebaceous glands, specialised sebaceous glands in early development, secrete a waxy coating on the surface of the fetus, known as the vernix. And that waxy coating is supposed to protect the developing fetus and also aid in its delivery. By 5 months, we see the growth of some hair and formation of the glands and the mammary gland development. Okay, I'll stop there. have a look through the second trimester information I've provided for you. I haven't described all of the systems. I've selected some key ones that I'd like you to think about. And have a look at the ultrasounds as well. And I'll come back and talk a bit about an abnormality.